This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. What a sports Wednesday, G-Bag Nation. Let's lock in here for the next 3 hours and talk sports with you. General at your service. There's Broadus in his LSU purple t-shirt. You got Lucius Alexander in the pimp cup over there, master control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. He'll keep the Gators down best he can. Chiafalo is in the house. Woolchuck remains on vacation. So send him some love on social. I hope I didn't cause a fight. I requested Bully Melrose yesterday a reaction to the Winnipeg Jets song Fail, and he got to it. Okay, he got to it, but I could tell Mrs. Woolchuck was in the background, and she was like, come on, honey, hurry this up, you know? So I'm hoping I didn't cause a fight there in the middle of the vacation. But it's worth it. It would be worth it if I did. I tell you that much because it's gold.
I cannot wait to hear Bully Melrose live from the middle of the ocean, hyped up on Stars Hockey.
I mean, I thought the hockey hawk Gavin Spittle was a sensation when it came to hockey analysis, but he may have been usurped, so to speak. Okay, you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105 through thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Steph Curry's going to miss at least a week. Got a grade one hammy strain. Happened in last night's victory for the Warriors. They beat the T-Wolves and in impressive fashion. He only played like 13 minutes. They still win.
Yeah.
This Jimmy Butler trade has been epic for them.
It's been really good. And the Buddy Hield games now back-to-back where he's showing up in a huge way, hitting some big-time buckets.
Who imagined three ball. Buddy Hield? You didn't ever said Buddy Hield in playoff success.
Jimmy now found him a buddy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He now found him a buddy in real life.
Yeah. He just makes fun of him all the time.
Yeah.
Well, Buddy Hield, they're delaying the start of the game like just seconds in because he doesn't have the right shorts on.
It's like he knows. He okay, Buddy is a guy that I can always take shots at because Buddy deserved it.
Yes. Yeah.
Buddy, you earned it. Buddy, that's why they call him Buddy.
Yeah. And Buddy's just gonna smile,
yeah,
and still be nice.
Yeah, he takes it, bro.
It's the perfect teammate for Draymond Green and maybe Jimmy Butler. But I'm starting to get the feeling from this team with Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond that it's like I don't know how many other teams were like this, but the '90s Bulls were so old, but they just knew what they wanted to do so well.
Yeah,
and they were creaky, and it's like how are these old mans doing it, but just totally dismantling younger teams that are more athletic and should be more capable. Their stars are ascending, but there's just some basketball know-how to it, and obviously the Warriors made the Mavs feel that a couple of years ago in that conference finals, and then they won the championship. I thought that was the dying embers of their dynasty, but I think this Buckets thing may have brought it back to life. I don't know. Steph's going to miss at least two games here.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be out for the next week or so. He's got the grade one hamstring strain, but still in 13 minutes, 13 points, he was ready to go on a pretty epic four quarters of basketball, I would have to imagine.
Yeah.
Probably in 13 minutes had more of an impact positively for his team on the game than Anthony Edwards did in four quarters. 1 point in the first half, that his coach calling him out a little bit, but the Timberwolves can't score. I mean, they can't shoot the three ball to save their lives right now.
Yeah.
Last two games, it's the worst we've ever seen in playoff history.
Yeah.
12 of 76
Ooh.
From the three-point line. And
Ooh.
It was a funny interaction when they informed him in the post-game presser. One of the reporters informed him of that stat and just how historically bad it is. and like his face just lit up, like his eyes got real big and his jaw dropped to the floor. Like Anthony Edwards was actually pretty funny in his reaction. Like he couldn't even believe how bad it was when he heard it in that context. 12 of 76 from the 3-point line in the last two games. And still, they beat the Lakers shooting awful with the three ball, which is funny just to make fun of the Lakers.
Yes.
But you're not beating the Warriors even without Steph when you shoot like that.
No, that's a problem. And the Warriors can play some pretty good defense. Yeah, I do feel like the Anthony Edwards pendulum is about to swing back the other way on him. He's been such a sensation. He's been one of the most electrifying players in the league. The smile is there. The personality is there. But like postseason fails plus an ascending number of illegitimate children, once the word gets out on that, you'll go from super likable to kind of the villain, you know? And I don't know. I think maybe this is the beginning of that. You know, back to back playoff departures.
Yes. Yeah.
Last year the knock was he was too tired to defend. Right. Yeah. The Mavs ran him ragged.
He was on oxygen mask in the tunnel in the fourth quarter of that Mavericks series. So yeah, you have to show up and deliver.
Yeah. Okay. Cowboys. They did an old school cowboy thing, kind of, didn't they? This is the Jerry Jones I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, Daddy grabbed the wheel and said, Steven, get out of my way. We're trading for a guy with some star power. And we're going to make the offense maybe significantly better here with a trade for George Pickens early this morning. Great job by Brian Broaddus helping break this story.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Bobby and I were having conversations at 5 this morning about it. And last night, things were kind of materializing there that maybe that we were going to get a deal done here. But this is a deal that a general manager who's not going to get fired makes, because you're giving up a 3 and a 5 with no safety net. You know, no guarantee that this player is going to resign with you. No guarantee that maybe you get a contract done. He could play outstanding, see his value, and then move on from you. So this is a bold move in that way of trying to help your team, trying to help your offense with a player that has a lot of this Dez Bryant type of ability to him. And I said this kid, and I say kid because he's 24 years old. This player, he's got, if we were all talking about McMillan, and I brought it up in the crosstalk, this player, when you look at Pickens, he is as much of like of a Tet McMillan of what we saw from him, just a faster version of him.
Now,
much faster. Like McMillan, I mean, I'm talking like in the rain. When you start to talk about, you see him in when he's taking on defensive backs, crossing routes, things like that. The way that he's able to run, the way he's able to separate, very soon. But when you start to talk, and you can see why the Cowboys like McMillan so much, because his ability to go get the football.
Mm-hmm.
This guy goes and gets the football.
Yeah, contested balls.
Contested ball, downfield plays, crossing routes, you know, anything that you want to throw him. Now, Not a big route tree from the Steelers, but play him in bunch, bring him in motion. There's a lot of things you could do with this guy because of his ability. The hands he has are rare.
Bunches, motions, maybe just another hint of the kind of offense that we're going to have. And absolutely, if you get great coordination amongst your offensive line and your backs and your receivers, there is plenty of room for one guy to be like, get me the ball guy and watch me be, you know, an incredible athlete. I think this absolutely explains why they didn't take the wide receiver in the draft. This is also, you know, what Jerry had to be hinting towards with possible trades. Is this it, Brian? Could there be more?
What, more trades? More?
Yeah.
No,
another move?
I think right now they're done. Now we'll see what happens maybe in June 1. Is there somebody out there that gets released? Do they have some money available? But right now, I know people were talking about a running back and stuff like that. I've just kind of hammered these guys about the wide receiver thing. They were saying, hey, we're looking at a lot of guys. And in fact, they got it done. So maybe the next thing is to ask them. But my gut feeling right now is that they're probably done until – If something comes available that they like, they're always open to that. But I think right now they're done.
You know, you give up a 3 and a 5 and you're fixing a weakness and making it a strength with a player who's young and in his prime. This is what the Eagles do.
Well, yeah. But like you say, you're doing it without a safety net because there's no guarantee. He could have a hell of a year. And if you look at the names of potentially whose contracts are up in 2025, there's only one franchise tag. And you might need that franchise tag for a bland.
Yeah, and I get that, and I respect that. I do think, though, Brian, even if he did walk, if he was great and you gave up a third-round pick for 1 year of 1,400-yard George Pickens.
I'm totally on board with this. I'm just saying that, to me, this is one of those moves that you absolutely make if you're a general manager that's not going to get fired. You know, you're okay. You're okay. Like, most general managers would not give up a 3-5 for a player that they that the league feels like might have some is hard to get along with. And I mean hard to get along with because of how competitive he is. You talk to people at the Steelers, they'll tell you this guy, he's not a bad person. He's not like hitting women or going out and doing crazy things. He believes that he can win every single rep. And you watch him play against, you know, the Surtans and, you know, the guy down in Atlanta, some of the best corners, the Jets corners. You watch him play and you could see him get up for these games. And
he wants to go break the other team right now. And if you don't get him the ball,
When he doesn't get the ball,
I could have done it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a problem.
That feeling of failure and losing is so powerful. It agitates people. Stresses you out.
Exactly what the Steelers
say. So he's like Dez in a lot of ways.
He's just like him. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get to OTAs. You know, let's talk about what this means in the context of, you know, what are the Cowboys' plans? Obviously, they're not rebuilding. They're thinking, okay, last year might have been a step back, but we're trying to make the team better. I don't know if they've done enough. They still need more good players. They don't have enough strength in their position groups. But I would say if you show up at OTAs and training camp and Tyler Guyton looks like a legitimate quality left tackle, then I'd be like, okay, I guess I can see them being in the playoffs and even winning a playoff game. I think they've done enough that they could qualify for that if they get good offensive line play.
Yeah, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I mean, this was the biggest hole remaining on their offense. Now, obviously, the question of Guyton.
The left tackle is now the big question, yeah.
Yeah,
Maybe if you still have some questions about the running back, I mean, if you're not a fan of Maffa or you're not a fan of Williams, I think we're all fans of Blue and what he could do. It'd be nice to have Rico Dowdle. Again, I'm being really nitpicky here, but having Rico Dowdle and Blue, I think would be a really good combination for this team. But we'll see with Moff and Blue how that works out.
And I guess if the schedule stacked up on you in the first 2 months before Overshown and Diggs can even start to come back, You could lose. You know, if they put all the worst teams that you could play in the first 8 games, you might be 2-6 with the way that the schedule goes. But if they do you a favor, you could be above 500 at the turn, getting your guys back. And, you know, I don't think that's homerism. You
Hopefully it's not too late. That's what you're trying to say, right?
What do you mean?
Well, hopefully it's not too late that, you know, the season hasn't completely fallen apart by the time you get your guys back.
I mean, I'm looking at the second half of last year, and even though Overshown and Diggs and some other guys were out, they were still able to be good in games that weren't against great teams. Yeah. Once they came up against great teams, got their doors blown off, and they reminded us, hey, this team ain't good. But you can win in the NFL without some key guys if the schedule's not too tough on you. So, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to how good Guyton is or how they would pivot if you know, Guyton isn't good enough. I guess this means they're looking at next year's draft assets as ways to improve this year's team.
Yeah.
What could you get for a two? Could you get a new left tackle for a two? You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking while I keep my fingers crossed, because Guyton's such a great athlete. You know, with a frame like that, he could be special out there. Maybe just needs more experience.
I think if they really, really, if push came to shove, I think they would take Tyler Smith and put him at left tackle.
Okay.
If Guyton ends up not being it.
If push comes to shove, they will figure out what they need to do at left guard and put Tyler Smith out there.
And you think Smith could be unbelievable left tackle too?
Oh, he's got that kind of ability. I mean, he's so much better inside because of his ability to play with the leverage and the power he has. But yeah, it's something that he'd have to go. He did it his college career. He did it his first year. But man, he's a Pro Bowl left guard. You know, he's got that. I wouldn't want to do it, but I'm just saying, if push came to shove and they just do not get what they want out of the left tackle play, that's the first thing I would do.
We got the Rangers explosion last night, 6-1 against the Red Sox in Brett Boone's first game. It'll be Mally and Houck tonight, pregame coming up at 5 o'clock, first pitch 5:40. Tomorrow it's afternoon baseball you get to enjoy, so we'll probably get on about 3:30 or 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But, just what the doctor ordered, lots of different guys getting hits and, you know, early returns, good on Boone. Hopefully that was the turning point they needed. Stars and Jets, though, 8:30 ESPN. So good that we're here. Unbelievable that we're here. I did say what I said in the crosstalk. I do believe it's true. The playoff format is unbelievably unfair. And
you know, it's a head scratcher. It doesn't make sense. I guess I would just ask why. You know, why do we do this? It's I thought after the first couple of years, it was clear this was a disaster. We should have pivoted. But hey, you know, you take care of this one, you'll have home ice advantage and things will be good. But this is basically a coin flip, you know?
Yeah.
Which is unfair to the Jets too. Hey, congrats Jets. You had the best record. Here's a coin flip game because yeah. You get to play the Dallas Stars.
Yeah. This is definitely not a gimme series, and it's exciting because you're like, this is for sure going six games. Very likely it goes seven games, but you get the game time decision tonight for Jason Robertson. That's exciting. That could add a little bit more offense that would be much needed versus a team like Winnipeg. But you're going to have the rest advantage going into tonight. Hellebuck, I think, is still leaking all the confidence in the world. Mm-hmm. This is one of those to get off that O for Schneid in these game ones.
Yeah, the Stars. This, you know, the Stars in the first game. You just kind of feel like, oh man, it's probably going to happen, and they find a way to, you know, get back in the series the next night. But what they have to do is Winnipeg, when the four games they played this year against Winnipeg outscored them 6-1 in the first. So, you know, then you take it to the second. Winnipeg outscores them 4-0 in the second. You know, Dallas has got to get off. You can't all of a sudden get in a hole if, you know, against Winnipeg, not with the crowd there and all that. You know, 6-1 advantage in the first is...
Yeah, that's alarming.
That's a strong... And you know, and they've got a player in Kyle Connor who just absolutely feasts when he plays against the Stars. You know, he's got like three game-winning goals in his career. You know, he's scored several goals already in the games that they play. I think he had four goals in the four games that they played so far. So, yeah, Dallas getting off to a great start. Yeah, it's not very likely because they lose the first game. It seems like every series, it's a trend. It's a bad trend. I don't know if you can lose the first game in this series with not having home ice advantage and get away with it. That's a concern for me.
Especially if Hellebuck gets rolling again. I guess his save percentage against the Stars in the regular season, Brian, was 965.
Yeah. Yeah.
you had no chance against him. But that was a massive outlier, and things are different now.
No, it's the playoffs.
He gave up five goals or more in three of the seven against St. Louis. Yeah. Okay, coming up next. We're going to do something for you, okay? Now, we moved the G-Bag today for the first time in 12 years. It's now every day live at 5:30. But I had the thought yesterday, what if for the early listeners, we at least replayed the champ for you at 2:25 every day? Do you think that's good, Brian?
There you go. Yeah.
Is that good?
I think
the early listeners got to appreciate that. You can always go back with the Odyssey app and just listen to last night's 5:30 segment. Right before it gets to LA Live, but we'll hit you with the G-Bag of the Day champ replay and then get to the top 10 coming up next. Chief, where are you taking it?
The most toxic fan base in college football next year in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, like this one right here, 214. Dang, it's a permanent change to 5:30. Yes, it is 214. And the 575, I'm in Colorado. Only way I could listen to you guys when I'm listening is to you guys in KNC, but when the G-Bag of the Day comes around and it's new time, I can't listen anymore. It's a shame I missed that segment. Well, a reminder, you can go with the Odyssey app. It breaks down every show basically like it's a podcast, and you can just select the segment you want. So you could go back. Well, we didn't have one last night because Rangers baseball. But you could go to 5:30 on Monday and get your G-Bag of the Day champ. But you know, when we did it at 2:30, we used to replay the champ in LA Live every night at 5:40, so I thought the inverse would be fair here to these early listeners that are wondering who the champ might be. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We'll get to the top 10 here in just a second. Lucius, who is our current G-Bag of the Day champion?
Sure. Let's see here. Dallas Stars hockey. Bill, was it Bully Melrose?
Bully Melrose.
Bully Melrose.
All right.
Count on me, L.A. King Stanley Cup champion Barry Melrose. I'm telling you, game seven, get Miro out there, boys, all right? Get him back there.
I don't want a game seven.
Well, I know I don't want a game seven either here, Brian, all right?
I don't want a game
seven. None of us want a game seven, Brian.
I don't want a game seven.
Captain freaking obvious. Get home. Don't come home and have to go ahead and play a game seven. Oh. Nobody wants that, Brian.
Get his ass buried.
Everybody wants to win game six, Brian. We want to end the series tonight, Brian, but if you have to.
Was that a little Canadian accent?
If you have to, pick the board.
It's Barry Dan Melrose.
It is Barry Melrose.
Petey's undefeated in game seven, Brian.
Barry Melrose.
Petey's undefeated, and they're going to get Miro back there. It's going to be incredible. Game seven at the AAC. The barn's going to be a rocking.
I think that's Bully Melrose, actually.
Let's go.
I can't say anything to that.
But we're not going to have to worry about it. They're not going to need Robo. They're not going to need Miro. This thing's going to end tonight. Game six.
Let's go.
Grandland Duchesne. They're going to get it done. Otters pitching the shutout. Screw you, Cale Makar. Screw you, Nathan MacKinnon. You boys ain't got bleep on us. Texas hockey, baby. Let's go.
Yes, sir. So there he is, your current champ, one-time champ, looking for five. Wolchuk on vacation. Didn't happen in Game 6, but it did so gloriously in Game 7. It's time now for the Wooly Bullies Top 10 at 220, hosted by Chiafalo. Here he is, Eric.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right, 877-881-1053. I have the top 10 most toxic fan bases in all of college football. We will be getting to that momentarily. I did want to just throw out a couple of the George Pickens numbers because, I mean, the addition here of George Pickens is real. In the Cowboys offense, this is going to be a needle mover. I can understand if you're not crazy about the trade because big picture, it might be a touch short-sighted to some extent, but George Pickens, I mean, since he's been in the league, he's first when it comes to yards per reception. I mean, 16, over 16 yards per catch. This is a downfield threat. And, I mean, Pro Football Focus had him at a 99 overall receiving grade on deep targets. This dude is a chunk play waiting to happen, and he's done it with garbage quarterbacks, dude. I mean, Trubisky was throwing him the ball at one point. This is a Kenny Pickett guy that he's had to deal with. So, I mean, all of that is, I think, very, very exciting and encouraging for what this Cowboys offense now has the potential to be. It was going to be probably extremely tough sledding with CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of wide receiver fours and no running backs that really excite you. So what was going to happen? The offense was going to stall out in a huge way. And now you actually have a guy who, okay, you want to double CeeDee Lamb? This dude can win in single coverage. He can win versus man, and he pushes the ball down the field. He goes up and gets it. I mean, over the last 2 years, George Pickens is tied with Justin Jefferson for the most 20-plus air yard catches in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So this is a downfield element, a guy who wins on the outside a ton. CeeDee Lamb has that versatility to go inside and out, but he's probably at his best from the slot. Now you have a guy who can win on the outside. I mean, imagine you have Pickens on the boundary, and right next to him in the slot is CeeDee Lamb. Like, have fun.
Yeah.
And then you have the juice of Turpin. Like, all these guys become better now because they're in roles that fit them. Turpin as a wide receiver 3 or 4. Same with Tolbert. Same with Mingo. They're not gonna have to go out there on an island and try and win versus single man coverage. They're gonna have much better opportunities to just be what their skill set is. Which, hey, dude, you're gonna be the fourth option on pretty much every passing play.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have any players beyond CeeDee Lamb that when they get the ball, you feel like they're the man. You know, everybody else is trying to make a play before the world caves in around them. Their best playmaker other than CeeDee Lamb is probably Jerron Bland once you get a ball in his hand, you know? Yeah. So, you know, this team was desperately starving for playmakers, and, you know, that's what George Pickens represents. I love what Brian's saying here about, you know, the concerns. I know Tomlin's saying the guy needed to grow up in a hurry multiple times throughout the season.
Yeah.
But I don't think these are the kind of maturity issues that are a massive concern if you're team building.
No, I you know, everybody was kind of, I know on Twitter there were some comments directed towards me and like, okay, so much for character and team building and, you know, all that stuff and right kind of guy and all
culture.
That. And I said it this morning on Love of the Star, the podcast that Eric and I did this morning. I said, I just remember Jim Garrett, you know, Jason Garrett's father and the Randy Moss draft. He said, He said, he told Chan Gailey, he says, Chan, this is the NFL. It's not the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
You know, and you go out and you get the best players. And you, and you know, as coaches, you try and find a way to make it work. You know, Junior Adams, the first year receivers coach for the Cowboys, is probably like super excited about having a guy because, you know, used to, you know, when he was at Washington or Oregon, he had a lot of egos that he had to deal with, you know, and I think it's cool for players to come in like a George Pickens, who you, when you watch him play, you could tell that every play is important to him. I mean, he's playing like, listen, I know I can win against Patrick Surtain right now. I know I can, you know, do this. I know I could do that. You know, that comes, if that comes off as being a problem and all those and maturing and all that, well, you know, it's my coach's job to try and make that work, you know, but I'm going to go out and get the best players I can get. And this is one of the best players in the National Football League when it comes to going and getting the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he is
the talent
something.
Is worth it.
Listen, we sat here and we were kind of talking about potential draft picks. We were also talking about, hey, now let's go get Amari Cooper. And we were okay with Amari Cooper, you know, but Amari Cooper is not moving the needle for your offense like this guy is. This guy is a legitimate, I mean, defenses have to worry about this guy as a player. You know, and I'll tell you what, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with the passion and all the things that the people at Pittsburgh were saying. Yeah, maturity, all that. Yeah, it's the other stuff, the other off-the-field things, you know, whether it's domestic violence or the things like that that you worry about. Those are the things. But if a guy just has passion for how he plays,
yeah,
and it bothers him when he's not part of the winning of that, then I'll live with that.
Yeah, this isn't a Greg Hardy edition.
No,
this is an emotional competitor.
Yeah.
Who obviously is still maturing. But
24 years old.
You know, he wants. You mentioned the speed, by the way, comparing him to Tet McMillan. Yeah. Pickens was a 4.47. Yeah. McMillan's like a 4.55 guy.
Right.
So the speed factor there.
It's different. It's just different on film.
Yeah.
Both of them have the ability to go and get the football, and both are tall, long, excellent hands.
And he's in a contract year. So he's probably going to be in best behavior mode. Let's be real about that. And he's got a quarterback that at least has some competence to his game now for pretty much the first time in his career. Albert Breer put it this way. The guys in Pittsburgh, for what it's worth, did believe Pickens' heart was in the right place the last couple of years, even when his frustration with the direction of the offense, or more specifically his role in it, led to emotional outbursts. So going to have to rein him in a little bit. But, yeah, you've got a nice influx of whatever the character, captain, leadership dudes going in there, and I understand all of that, but this talent, you had a giant need, and this dude fills it. So it is definitely exciting. For this year's offense just became so much more watchable, first and foremost. Our Sundays are going to be a lot more fun.
I'm significantly surprised by the Cowboys doing this. You know, it adds a massive contract to their future. Are they acknowledging, guys, we can't sit around and manage the cap conservatively and think we're about to get to the Super Bowl magically? This isn't 2007 where a wild card team can sneak in and go win three games against similarly talented teams. The best teams, especially in the NFC, are building super teams, and we're lying to ourselves. And by the way, last year we gave Dak a big contract. He's 31 years old. He has 4 years left. If you plan on winning the Super Bowl, sir, in your remaining years on this planet, it's probably going to have to happen soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
No question. Okay, 877-881-1053, the most toxic fan base in college football. Our buddy Tim in Carthage says Aggies, Wolverines, and those damn Vols. From the 903. We have a lot of LSU coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about what their big song is, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it gets more toxic than that.
We're very toxic.
How can it get more toxic than that? A lot of Georgia Bulldogs, Florida Gators. I mean, the SEC is leading the conversation here on the text right now.
Does BYU go over the line, or is that just the Utah Jazz fans?
I'm not sure if BYU. Yeah, we'll see if they have appearance here.
BYU is like the most friendliest fans I've ever dealt with.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, well, thank you so much for coming. You know, as they're like, they kick your ass, and then they're like thanking you and have a good trip home, and is there anything we can help you with? And I mean, I remember traveling with TCU to BYU, and I was like, get me out of this place. These people are like,
man, I tell you, I grew up with a lot of Mormons, and they always had the best hospitality.
Yeah, they were very friendly.
You get invited over there, you know you're having a kick-ass after-school lunch, chocolate chip cookies, the whole deal.
Yeah, they were super friendly, and I'm like, you know, okay, I understand. You just You think they're fake because they kicked your ass. But
and they're really, nice. Yeah. Those chocolate chip cookies were real, though.
Yeah, they brought toiletry bags for our guys, like toothpaste and toothbrushes and deodorant.
They were nervous you didn't bring any yourselves.
Yeah.
These guys don't
even. No, they're trying to be nice. They wanted to put them in our lockers.
That is pretty kind.
They were like, they knocked on the door, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And he goes, oh, it's toiletries for your players. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks.
Michigan football fans coming at number 10.
Then they ask you to be a Mormon is what they do.
that's how they rope you in.
There's a little card in there like, hey, if you put on this deodorant, think of the Mormon church. Thank you.
They're all recruiting out there, baby. Michigan,
they ride up on bikes, on two bikes.
No, there's not short sleeve white shirts with ties. None of that. It was, is that the right thing? Is that
I believe so.
That's what Latter-day Saints. But yeah, they knocked on the door. Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, they're standing there with these boxes of toiletries, you know, and they're like, hi, you know, and I'm like, hi.
They thought you were the butler.
And I was at the locker room. It was the door of the locker room. And I asked Matt, there's just some guys here from, and he goes, oh, let them in. It's cool. And those kids put toiletries in every one of our players' lockers. And they were like nice bags.
It's really kind.
And the card said, hey, if you want to be a Mormon, call this number. Yeah, so they're doing some recruiting.
Yeah, they are. Number 10 is Michigan, their fan base, 10th most toxic. Florida State football fans, Alabama fans, Rolling Tide. Texas comes in at number 7, getting a lot of, like, the 817. Got to be the Longhorns fans, biggest collection of jack wagons I've ever seen. They've never been to a midnight yell at College Station.
That's an Aggie yell right there.
Tennessee and the Vols do come in at number 6. Shout out to Choppy. Number 5 is the Miami Hurricanes.
I don't know about that, man.
They get a little buck wild, and they're not always.
I will say this real quick about Tennessee.
They're not ride or die.
Tennessee will threaten their recruits. Like, if you're a recruit that signed somewhere else and you were pledged to go, they will go.
You flip on the Vols.
You flip on the Vols, and they will. That fan base will go after recruits that flip. Yeah.
The Colorado Buffaloes come in at number 4. I feel like that's a what have you done for me lately type of thing.
Yeah, they haven't been good for a long
time. Recent trend. They were forgettable.
They were very, very forgettable. So yeah.
But now you do have a John Doe, 55-year-old Buffalo, Colorado Buffalo fan who's suing the NFL for $100 million after the Shedeur Sanders emotional distress he went through on draft weekend. So that does give you a window into some of their toxicity. This guy was so emotionally distressed by Shedeur Sanders and what he believes to be NFL collusion that he is trying to sue the NFL for $100 million.
And this is just a Buffs fan?
That's exactly.
Man, that's passion
right
there.
It's a Buffs fan right there.
That sounds very toxic. Holder. Okay, they're number 4. That's good. Yeah.
Georgia Bulldogs are number 3.
Yeah.
Florida Gators are 2, but number 1, the
Ohio State.
Reigning champion Ohio State Buckeyes. Yeah.
Thank you, Chief. There's a top 10 for you. What do you want to do next?
Let's do a little sports hodgepodge. We'll hear from Brett Boone, who's on with the morning show, fellas. Rangers offense gets back and going in a huge way, and we had the first of its kind in the NBA playoffs last night, next in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. I love you, buddy. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll take a look at the top stories of the day. We have Cowboys. We have Stars. We have Rangers. There is a new star wide receiver that Brian is comparing to Dez freaking Bryant. Okay,
oh, did I just do that?
Throw up the X. Throw up the X. Yeah. We're double throwing up the X.
What's this generation now called? This generation that we're currently in?
Is this Z? Are the kids coming out of college Gen Z still?
Is this the Gen Z's version of Dez?
I think so.
That's what I'm saying, I guess.
I will take it, dude.
Like, this is their version.
Let's get some more touchdowns out of him.
Yeah.
Once he finds the end zone as much as Dez, then I'm willing to fully go there.
I mean, it's the first capable quarterback he's played with since college, right? So this could get really exciting for George.
It absolutely could.
His high season so far, 1,140 yards, I believe. I think he goes over that in year one. Here's the Chief with some more sports.
Take that, like Howie Roseman.
I like what you're doing over there, Dawson. I like that.
Thank you.
We stole a bulldog.
Yeah.
From Howie.
How about that?
I feel good about it.
No, I mean, it's just, man, I mean.
Dude, did you see the numbers that Warren Sharp was pumping out about the deep ball stuff and Dak and George?
But did he also, Warren Sharp, put out some stuff that the Steelers kind of know when to get rid of a receiver?
He did, yeah. That's the aspect of this.
I guess that's the one I saw from Warren Sharp, and I kind of went, damn, Warren.
The history.
Don't do that to me, please.
Yeah, the track record of Mike Tomlin being done with a receiver has not usually paid off well for the next team with that player.
Yeah.
So. There is something to be said for that, but I don't think it's usually guys that are like this young.
24 years old?
Yeah. And
I don't think this guy's like, crazy, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Antonio Brown is a completely different breed.
Crazy in a kind of George a fun Pickens way. Is. Antonio's kind of a fun crazy. Yeah.
But, I mean, what the numbers indicate, Warren Sharp said, like, Dak Prescott over the last 2 years, he's got the most passing yards on 15 or more yard go routes. Second most attempts on those as well. And George Pickens is number one in terms of most receiving yards on 15 or more yard go routes and second most catches on those plays. And Dak third best accuracy of the 40 quarterbacks that qualified. So you do have elements. It's kind of like the Michael Gallup stuff, but this is a much better player.
Yeah, this is
like just throw the ball down the sideline. This dude's going to go up and get it, and he can make circus catches with his hands, but his feet are also toe tipping. Boom, there's 40 yards.
The similarities between him and Gallup are only in where they are on the field.
The toe touching.
The ability to contort and all that. This guy is rare when it comes to his ability to, you know, to go back and get a ball and just in really tight spaces and stuff. Michael Gallup wishes he was able to extend his hands and catch the ball like this guy does. Mm-hmm. Gallup was more of the body catch and, you know, it was contort, but like body catch the ball. This guy, like, it is along the sidelines, and there's like a receiver or a defensive back in his chest, and all of a sudden you see his hands go up, and it's like he catches it, and then he's pulling it away from, like, you're not going to knock this ball away. Like, you get him down in the red zone, and they throw him that fade, and he goes up over the top of the defender, grabs it, and then pulls it. So, because you got those guys that are like swiping at the ball to try and, you know, to get it out of there.
That ball's his.
Yeah, he's not going to let you do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, let's take a glance at the NBA playoffs real quick because we now have road teams in the last 3 days in the NBA playoffs go undefeated 3 days in a row. So excluding the 2020 bubble, this is the first time in NBA playoff history road teams won multiple games without a loss 3 days in a row. You had what Tyrese Halliburton did. My gosh, dude. This has been a true coming out party for him in terms of being a late game assassin.
Yeah.
What is happening? What an epic collapse by the Cavaliers, who were up like 14 points going into the fourth quarter, up 7 points with like 43 seconds to go in the game. Tyrese Halliburton, the only player in the last 20 years to rebound his own free throw miss and then hit the game-winning three-pointer all in the last 15 seconds of a game, regular season or playoffs. That was all Tyrese, dude. That was awesome.
See, I mean, I know the league called him the most overrated. The players did. They voted in that. I think he's the most underrated.
That was some hating.
You're right. They got something against him. But
he took that personal.
His defense is really good, too. Like, you're talking about one of the elite two-way players.
I'll tell you what.
That we've seen in the last quarter century.
I'm loving it.
There was some skill on that free throw, though.
Oh, yeah.
How he shot. And usually those guys throw it up there and they hope and it bounces off. The way that he shot it with the arc and it hit on the front of the rim and then went, you know, so they were able to kind of get it.
Yeah.
It was so well thought out, and the positioning and him to go get the ball and stuff. That's just a smart basketball player right there.
469 said, bro, I'm just tuning in. My son just told me about George Pickens. Please tell me he isn't ball sacking me.
No,
it's a ball sack free environment. Your son's reporting the truth.
He lied.
George Pickens is a Cowboy. Okay, Brett Boone is a Ranger, and he's also just a staple on our morning show. That will continue into perpetuity. In fact, it gets cranked up a little bit. We're going to get Wednesday weeklies with Brett Boone and the morning show.
How cool.
And it was a great interaction today.
Did I see him on camera? Like, he had his podcasting equipment with him?
Yeah.
When he was on the road?
He's a pro. He's buttoned up.
He had his headset on and everything. It's like he brings his equipment when he goes out. So.
Yeah, he's dialed.
Really cool. All right.
So two of my favorite interactions were when they asked him about why did you even take the job? You're in such a cush spot now. He's talking about being on the beach with his dog. He's doing his podcast. He's chilling. Why are you doing this, Brett?
At the end of the day, having a big league uni on, being back in the game, and it came out of nowhere. You know, this is something I had no agenda. I didn't need the last thing on my mind. On Saturday was getting a call from Bruce Bochy and asking me to come back into uniform, and life's crazy and it's funny. And when I thought about it, I just said, Bruce is one of my favorite men in the game, not just because he was my skipper for 1 year, but the relationship we've had over the last 25 years. And I thought about it for about a minute and a half, and I thought, I can't say no to Bruce Bochy. And I called
but your
Bruce
wife, Ken.
Said, yeah, but I might overrule her. I just called Bruce and I said, Boach, how can I say no to you? Of course I'll be there. When do you need me there? Let me tie up some loose ends. I got on a plane and here we are. And you know what? It's a blessing. It's where I'm supposed to be right now.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I think there's some opportunities that are so good that if your wife is like, no, you have to be like, honey, I'm sorry. This is
happening. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah. This is life calling me to do something amazing that I'm very excited for. And I hope you can appreciate that.
I'm sure when
Bill Belichick could learn something.
I'm sure
this guy,
when,
freaking like, alpha. Phil Sims, too.
No, my parents or my wife doesn't want me to let somebody use my number. I got to take it back.
Brett Boone's like, F you. I'll see you in Boston.
See, the thing about it is,
we're going to go put up a six spot. Watch.
She's a baseball wife, but she married into a family of baseball people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure she's like, sure.
He's like, the B and Boone stands for baseball, not bitching, honey. Yeah. I'll see you in Boston.
Yeah, I'm not.
She's probably like, about time.
Yeah, she's like, okay. Just make sure the checks get in the account. We'll see ya. You know?
that's true. Those direct deposits are going to hit like crack.
They're going to hit.
They really are.
She's going to appreciate it, yeah.
Okay, here's Brett Boone talking about how he views his role for the Rangers.
My job is to give these guys hope. You know, I talked to him yesterday, and I just want to let him know that I've felt every emotion you can possibly feel. I've been at the top of the mountain. And, man, I've been hiding in my hotel room not wanting to go to the ballpark because I can't get a hit. So these guys, when you feel down, but all these guys want, I try to put myself in my player mode as much as I can. What did I want? I just wanted some hope. Somebody give me some hope, a reason that I got a chance to get a hit next at bat. And I know that because I've been there a lot of times. So that's what I want to do. That's my plan. Today I'm going to train like I'm hitting today. I'm going to pretend I'm in the lineup today. I get to the ballpark and I'm going to get that video out. We're going to start watching with Hauk today, who we're facing for the Red Sox. So now as the day goes on and the hitters are starting to talk and starting to move around, hey, what do we got tonight? Well, this is what I think he's going to try to do to you. If he does this is going to happen. So it's just little things that I can interject. I'm not here to tell you how to hit. Everybody's different. I had a certain way I went about it, but that doesn't mean player B it can do that same thing. Let's find out what works best for you. And my job is, when you're a little confused or something's going on, to watch you and say, hey, remember when you were talking about this? Why don't you try that?
There he is, yeah. Brett Boone, and there is a sports hodgepodge for you in the G-Bag Nation. It was a one and done, just an incredible success there and a good start for Brett Boone. We'll talk more about that. We have the C-Note Cowboys News of the evening coming up at 3:20, but what's PDD saying about our two injured stars as we get ready for Game 1 of Round 2? That's coming up next, The Nation.